Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Black Dog Confessional. Today I am here with Redbird, and we have a special guest.
Yeah, this is weird. I'm sitting in a different spot.
Yeah, yeah, but there's a reason for this reason.
So I'll introduce, or I'm going to try. I'm really geeking out and nerding over here. Anybody who knows me knows that I absolutely love professional wrestling. My kids love professional wrestling. I've grown up on it my entire life. So to have this man, Bill DeMott, sitting next to me, I got goosebumps. I was scared to get out of my truck when I first pulled in today. So I'm sure everybody thinks all I want to do is ask 8 million questions about wrestling. We'll get to that. But we're bringing Bill on because Bill has a very important message and something else that he'd like to talk about, and I think it's important for everybody to listen to. So, Bill, I'll turn it over to you, brother, and have at it.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for this time. Hopefully we get to talk about wrestling. That's my passion. That's what I do. But what we've been doing the past 3 years in my family, my house, and we started the Carrie Ann DeMott Foundation. My middle daughter, Carrie, was tragically killed on October 10th of 2015 by a multiple DUI offender right here in Brevard County. 20 years old. She was a junior at UCF. On her way home, and she was hit head on. And I tell people as we travel around the country and I speak to students and law enforcement and organizations, and unfortunately you have two options as a father. You sit in a corner and you try to keep the rest of your family going, or you get up every day, look for a reason to make sure that another family doesn't go through it. And until we find that, that's my inspiration for every day, is when I've gotten to meet some special people around the country who have gone through this. And as we went through the process, law enforcement and that have reached out to become our mentors, and because they you know, you guys need a voice. You know, people don't get it. You're there every day and you see it and you go home with it and you take it home with you. And I started to understand that very quickly, is that if you go out the next day and try to do it again, then someone else has to do it too. And my daughter was that person. She was going to help people. She was a sociology major. She served at our church in the children's ministry. My older daughter, Casey, who's now 25. Carrie would have been 20 last week. And then I have a son who's 10. I retired in 2004. The Giants won the Super Bowl in 2008. We celebrated too much. My son was born. I went back to work. So there's a little age difference there in the kids. But as a foundation, we've found that we need to speak to people, and we don't necessarily. I don't ever talk about drunk driving. I talk about decisions. I talk about the decisions we make and how they affect others. And we go as far as talking about the suicide epidemic with teens and in colleges and cyberbullying and texting and social media and all this. And that allows me to introduce my daughter and tell her story. And then when people get to meet Carrie Ann, it solidifies what we were doing in front of 1,500 students, 2,000 students, 200 students. That's what we do now. That's my job. I went from, and I tell people all the time, I went, you know, from wearing tights and long hair and crazy hair and entertaining hundreds of thousands of people to now hopefully educating, inspiring others. So we realize, us as adults too, you know, we make decisions, and we got to understand that somewhere down the line, someone else is affected.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talk about cause and effect all the time. Last episode we had Chris on, and you know, one of the comments he talked about was he had arrested a female teacher for driving under the influence, and how, you know, she's yelling at him and saying, you know, you did this to me, you did this to me, what, you're going to ruin my life. And quite honestly, no, she's the cause, we're the effect, because we have to protect everybody right. else. And in your situation, I mean, the fact that you're able to carry on her voice and do all the things that she will want to do, you know, keeps that person alive, keeps that spirit alive, and being able to transition from the awesome years you had entertaining thousands to say, hey, that was all training for this.
Yeah, that's what it was. I tell people a lot when you speak, I wasn't groomed for this. You know, I was groomed for, I got paid to beat people up, and right. you know, it was yeah. legal, and and you get to share that. So that's kind of how I open every presentation. Is there's a little minute of me doing the moonsault. I think it's poor Funaki is the victim of it. And the kids and parents go, oh, this is going to be the coolest talk we've ever had. But then I hit them right with the real, you know, about life and things like that. So,
and that's what, you know, we with us doing the show, our goal is to bring the real. I mean, I can tell you, when I started in law enforcement, I wasn't not known as the DUI guy my first 2 years. I wasn't. I was the drug guy. I've always kind of been the drug guy. And I think I was probably maybe 2.5 years into my career, I had switched from one precinct to another, and going from Canaveral to working at South was much different. We had 95. I didn't have, you know, everything in Canaveral was back streets, you know. And I remember going to a wreck where a driver who was impaired had a female passenger, and there was a single vehicle crashed into the woods. And when I got there, the vehicle was turned on its side, and the male had nothing but a scratch on him, and I go to the car, and the car's on, like I said, it's on the side, and the female's, the rearview mirror was through her forehead, and she was dead, and she was hanging from her seatbelt, and she was 16 years old. And I was like, you know what, this is insane. As I'm looking at this guy go make every excuse in the world for why, you know, this is not my fault, blah, 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 and changed my whole perspective on doing DUIs. And I started doing them regularly, like, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a month. As I would find them, I'd do them. And every time I would do it, I'd always be like, I'm doing this for that girl who didn't get a chance. And oddly enough, things always kind of work out in different ways. But a couple of weeks after that accident, you know how it goes. Some of these guys, they go to the hospital, the blood draw gets happened. It could be a few months mm-hmm. before they're actually charged. And I'm walking down Aurora Road with another deputy, and I see these guys working around this building. And I said, what are they doing? It's closed business. So we go and we talk to them, and one of them was the guy who had been the driver of that car. And I said, wow, I know you. And he goes, no, you don't. You don't know me. I said, yes, I do. You're the guy who killed that girl. And he was like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, no, I was there. You were drunk. You killed that girl. And he was like, it's not like that. You know, and he starts like trying to break down. I go, no, it is like that. You made the decision to drink. You made the decision to drive. And that girl was the result of that bad decision. And you're responsible for her death. And, you know, later on, he wound up getting charged. He wound up being convicted. But I just thought it was one of those times that I worked a call, and I was like, man, I wonder whatever happened to that guy. And then there, 2 weeks later, I get to run into him and basically get to say my bit of peace, you know. But people like that, there's thousands of them a year.
Yeah.
There are thousands of them a year that we get stories like this. We go to calls like this. And it's terrible when a promising life, a life in general, but, you know, your daughter, so young, promising future, you know, good relationship, involved in the church, doing all these things right, and then here a person that has multiple DUIs, should not even have been driving, it gets in a head-on crash and kills her, you know? And it's just such a – it's one of those reminders for us in law enforcement that that's the reason why. Carrie Ann DeMott is the reason why, yeah. You know, that we have to do this. Yeah, some people say it's like it's a simple misdemeanor, it's going to cost them a lot of money, all this other crap. I don't care. You know what? It could cost somebody their life.
Well, that's the thing. You never know if you do a if you catch a drunk and you do a DUI on them, you'll never know, did you save someone's life that night? You know, I always looked at it as like, we probably did. There's a very good chance that one we saved. I think I was watching one of your videos this afternoon, and there was a stat you had on there. The average drunk driver drives 80 times before they're finally caught.
Yep. 80 times, they say. 80 times before they're caught, and that started me doing my homework. And as I talked to officers and deputies and And then you come to find out, unfortunately, you can get stopped in every county in this state before you're charged with your first DUI.
Right.
So then I started, then the dad kicked in, the father kicked in. And now we have to do something about these laws. We need accountability because I can't travel the country talking to law enforcement agencies and looking grown men and women in the eye and asking you to go out and do your job again when we're not going to back you up. And I can't say, because you, as you guys know, a DUI with paperwork and the arrest can take 3 hours by the time you transport them and all these things. And some of the new kids coming on and some of they don't even bother with that. But if they don't, to your point, you may have pissed somebody off, a teacher, you may have pissed somebody off who made a decision, but you did save their life that night because they're going to wake up mad and then they're going to realize when they come out of it.
Right.
You know, absolutely. So that we started putting the cards, the Carrie Ann DeMott Matters cards, and window decals, and now you'll see state troopers all over the state and every county, and here in Brevard, and you see them a lot in Titusville and McGrory. My buddy McGrory, who makes a DUI arrest, he makes sure on his camera that when he's putting the person in the car, he's filming the Carrie Ann DeMott Matters sticker. So when the judge sees that, not only is the defendant here, the cat who's being arrested, now the judge is hearing Carrie's story before they decide what's going to happen.
Right.
Absolutely.
So it's you, law enforcement needs help. Everybody thinks, oh, you're the end-all, do-all. And to me, you are. I have family in law enforcement, but that, I feel like that's my justification for challenging you again to go out and do it.
Right.
Because we're going to be right there next to you trying to make sure that, because there's things you can't do. So I always say I'm running alongside the car because there's things I can do. And I always go, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There's things I can do that you can't do. You know, because I'd like to bop somebody in the face when they say something.
Obviously, you have this horrible traumatic issue happen with your family. At what point did you wake up and say, I'm going to use everything that I've learned over my career and I'm going to put that into this now?
That next day.
Oh, wow.
Because I had my son was 7 at the time. My wife was staring, looking at me, and my daughter was staring, looking at me. And I didn't have any answers for them because I was lost. I'm lost now. This is our 4th holiday without her. She's 3 years now. And I'm lost. But I can't have them lost. I need them to keep going. And they need help to figure it out. And when you go to people and say, I'd like to help, and I was told, no, thank you, we have it. Well, now you've just, excuse my language, you just pissed in my Cheerios. This is my daughter we're talking about.
Yeah.
So those people who told me no, thank you, a national organization, then with a little nudging from my wife, we took it upon ourselves and we founded the Carrie Ann DeMott Foundation. And no one will ever hear no from us. We just started victim services this year.
Now, with that, with the victim services aspect, obviously, you're what people don't see. You know, they see the story in the paper where somebody gets killed in a car crash, but they don't see the after effect. They don't see when a trooper or a police officer has to come tell you that this has occurred, and then what the damage is and how you come back from it. When we come back from our break, well, I want to talk on that. I want to know how... what motivates you? I should say, I know what motivates you, but what keeps that fire burning?
Cool.
So we'll go to break right now, and Jesse will play us out.
Are you ready to explore the world? Travel to exotic locations and live your best life with Anytime Travel Solutions. Anytime Travel Solutions are your worldwide, unbiased concierge with access to real inventory of hotels, cruises, railroads, tours, and all of the best excursions. Anytime Travel Solutions realizes how fun it is to plan your own vacations, so we have the option to search vacations and book safely on our website, or you can visit us in our conveniently located offices in downtown Melbourne, Florida. Did you know travel is proven to benefit your health, both physically and mentally? We have 3 decades serving travelers and making dreams come true. So ask yourself, if not now, when? Call Ceci today to begin your adventure. Dial 321-779-4285 or visit anytimebookings.com. That's anytimebookings.com.
Hey, make sure you check out Space Cowboy Justice with your hosts, Blake Stewart and Paul Daly. We're going to be talking about interesting legal issues in the entertainment industry and everything geek. If you're into Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, comic books, we're talking about it. Coming at you from the Space Coast Podcast Studios.
You're listening to the Space Coast Podcast Network. If you'd like to be featured as a guest or sponsor or even host your own show, please email us at spacecoastpodcast@hotmail.com. That is spacecoastpodcast@hotmail.com.
Space Coast Podcast. Talk hard.
All right, we are back.
I think you jumped the gun. You need to wait till Jesse points.
Jesse's finger was up. It was not pointing.
Yeah, up is weight, clearly. Point goes.
Okay, I got the hand signals down
now. I'll use a wrestling. You were in Gorilla. You weren't told to go yet.
Oh.
Kind of right?
It's 3-2-1, then go.
There you go. See?
It's not 3-2 and go on one.
Gotcha.
3-2.
All right, so getting back to what we were on. Obviously, we know your motivation. You're a parent. They lost their child. But how do you keep that fire burning? Because I know a lot of times we see a lot of people that come out and their fire burns for a certain time, but then it slowly starts to dim. The wood starts to go away. Life transitions. Maybe people aren't paying attention as much anymore. How do you keep that fire going?
I have no end game. I go to sleep knowing who my daughter is, what she was going to do, what she wanted to do. And I say it all the time, that's I'm her father, that's my job. I was raising her and coaching her in life to do more. Someone took that away, they thought. So what would I do? Well, a lot of people think that by the time the legal process is over and everything, and you find a way to move on, and it gets easier. And it's probably the 2 worst things you could ever say to them.
How do you ever move on?
You don't move on, because she'd been 24. 2 weeks ago was her 24th birthday. I knew what she was going to do by the time she was 24. So whether it's, and we didn't start out doing this foundation for anybody but Carrie Ann. Because she was going to help someone do something, and that's what we have to do. And it's turning into this movement, and we call it a grassroots movement. But then I meet a dad who came to me and thanked me for speaking at an event. He lost his daughter 8 years ago and hasn't left the house, and that was the first event he was at. And he said, "You're the first person I've talked to about this in 8 years." And it scared the hell out of me to think that I would be home every day and not introduce my daughter to someone new, or in, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't have any other motivation than that's my job as her father. That doesn't end.
Yeah.
I would expect in the perfect world the way things should be, you know, when I turn 115 and my kids say goodbye to me, they would carry on what I hopefully left for them to do. So why would that change?
No, it's...
No, I'm super impressed. I mean,
yeah,
because it's got, like Steve said, it's got to get tough at some point. Do you start to teeter out? You said you had a national organization tell you, oh, we're good. You know, you get those frustrations. But rather than quitting, you just keep pounding away at it. And now you had a banquet last night.
Yeah, yeah. We had our third annual dinner banquet. And I feel like we've been doing it for like 20 years now because it's a lot of work. Birthday's in January. There had to be something done in January. My wife looks at me and goes, easy. We'll figure it out. Okay, let's figure it out now. So we had our third. That's how it started.
Right.
And it started at UCF in a little Live Oak Center. This year we had the Pegasus Ballroom.
Oh, wow.
Over 200 people were there last night.
That's awesome.
Surrounded by law enforcement, state attorneys, people that we haven't met but knew about the banquet coming up. And like anything else, it's grassroots. It's word of mouth. You know, you're going to get those people. And I use social media. I'm not about the likes and the follows. I'm not about, okay, well, let's see how many tickets we can sell. I want bodies in those seats.
Absolutely.
To hear what's going on. And so over 200 people got there. We have a great silent auction. We had sponsors that were unbelievable. The Dolphins and the Bucks and WWE and all these great silent auction. We had great dinner. We got to award some wonderful people and share Carrie's story with that many more. So we already have our date, I think, for next year's January 18th is the...
That's awesome.
...the dinner. But so... And then we have Titusville coming up, and they're, you know, they're a big part. And we have our 5K walk at the bridge in Titusville.
Let's say you walk the Max Brewer Bridge?
Well, I walk it, I stop, I walk it, I stop, I walk it. Everybody else runs it. You know, it's a 5K.
Right.
So while people were like on the return, I was just, wow, the water looks great.
I think I found somebody I can do 5Ks.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. That's it. That's my mentality. You know, it's super awesome when we get to meet people like you that are continuing that. And, you know, we have seen things across this country that are setbacks. And, you know, one of the biggest ones that really upset me several years ago was the affluenza defense, where that guy got away with, you know, killing four people in a DUI crash.
Right.
And then basically mocked it and went and got drunk again. And then, you know, they tried to hide him in Mexico and all these other things. And this is a kid that, you know, legitimately should be sitting in prison right now.
Right.
And for his decision. You know, and I always think about the family from Palm Bay who they got rear-ended in Georgia and their daughter was killed and their son's now a quadriplegic and, you know, and having to rebuild, you know, and having not only to rebuild, but now you have a child who is going to require 24/7 care, you know, all the things that change for that child's life, you know, and just thinking about those things and the motivation that it's for us when we go out to work. But being able to meet the man behind the victim, you know, the family behind the victim, it's and to see that motivation moving forward is what motivates us, what motivates a lot of people, and gives a voice to those people. Like you said, the guy who sat in his house for 8 years, you know, thinking about that loss, but not knowing what to do with it.
Right.
And you're right. I've seen so many people that have been lost. They didn't know where to take it. And you being able to run your foundation is now giving people that voice to get out of their house and talk about that loved one that was lost and motivate people to use an Uber, use a Lyft, get a ride home. There's so many ways not to drive.
No excuse, man. There's no excuse. But law enforcement was the biggest reason for us doing this because we met Trooper William Hitchcock, who's out of...
Old Bill. Yeah, we know old Hitchcock.
So Hitch, my phone rang the next day. Hitch was the one who notified me on the 10th as I drove. And he called. I say the next day, it's probably 2 days later, and my phone rang, and it was Hitch and my wife, and I were there, and he's on speakerphone. And he asked me, "Please, what are you doing?" "Well, I don't know. I'm just... you know, waiting, you know, day two. Get off your ass and be ready to talk. you know, be ready for the process in the court. But it was Hitch who makes you understand you make the arrest, you guys do the due diligence, and you see it, like I said earlier, you see it. And then you're expected to, nobody knows what you see. Nobody knows what you live with. Nobody knows how many. Everybody I speak to is a victim of DUI because they're never going to meet my daughter. But everybody who comes in contact with you guys is a victim because they don't realize what you've gone through. And they don't realize how hard it is to look a grown man or woman in the eye and say, please go out and do that again. I take one crash home every time I close my eyes. You guys take dozens. First responders take home dozens. And before I could go talk to a student and say, don't do something stupid, before I could talk to a school or a corporate event, I started talking to law enforcement and saying, please don't stop what you're doing. Because of the Montezes, because then I met the DREs, and then I met all these people that are going through this, and I know there's a fight. People don't know there's a fight. They hear DUI, and, oh, what a shame, and people should be more. They have no idea what you guys are doing on a daily basis. So that was my inspiration for standing up and go, wait a minute. 12 people stood behind me and picked my old ass up and said, get out there and talk to someone. And I say every time that those officers and troopers and deputies, and they saved my life. You guys are saving people's lives you don't even know. So how dare I not do something? And then you add that it's my daughter, and you add that she had a mission and what she was going to accomplish. So I have an army. I have a grassroots army, and it keeps getting bigger. And we're going, you know, I spoke in Xavier University. I gave a lecture at Xavier University last month.
Yeah, I remember so seeing that on Facebook.
And I sat there and went, well, that's a far cry from the Knoxville, Tennessee arena with the old, you know, with the old lady with the crotch hitting you over the head.
It's far from wrestling the old Coco Expo. Right.
But it goes back to the point, wrestling prepared me to be in front of people and deliver that message. But it's law enforcement. That's the bottom line. I want everybody to know that. Law enforcement, the first responder. I just got in contact with the kid who was on the fire truck that night and met my daughter. And he's a victim of DUI because he never met her before that. That's how he had to meet her. Yeah. So if you have to hear my story for that, you're a victim of that. But then I have to go out and protect you and build you up.
No, that we before. We appreciate that. Like absolutely. I said, I personally use your story and several others like it to be what's my motivation. We've seen a lot of crashes. We see a lot of them. And every one, you know, you can pretty much remember back, you know. And you may have never even known that person's name.
Right.
But for me, you know, being able to sit down and hear your what you've done from the next day on. You did everything you could as a parent, and then that next day you took on a new role to continue that role of being a parent. And I think that's something that gets overlooked a lot of times, because once that paper is thrown into the recycling bin, people have a tendency not to hear that story anymore. And one of the good things about using social media is that video gets replayed, that story gets retold, it gets shared, it gets pushed. And like we said earlier, with all the avenues you can travel through now, Lyft, Uber, call a ride, cabs, all this stuff.
You can call AAA and they will tow your car home. Right. You just tell them it's broke and they send out the tow truck. They tow it home. You ride up in the cab, tell the tow truck driver about your story and go home and go to sleep. I mean, there's so many ways
to not do that anymore.
And I don't know too many. I don't know any law enforcement officer that if you just call and say, hey, look, I'm drunk at bar X and I don't want to drive. Can you give me a ride home? Give me a ride home. I mean, yeah,
don't ask you when they're driving and then they want to ride. Right. Do it before.
Call. Yeah. I mean,
it's 100% preventable, right? That's what it is.
Yep. Oh, I can't tell you how many. I have an open policy on my squad. If you're out and you drink too much, call me. I don't drink, you know. You need me to come pick you up? I'll come pick you up. I'd rather do that, you know. But nowadays, with Uber and Lyft, these guys, that's gone away because they just go, doop, hit their little app, and a minute later, there's somebody in the front, right in front of wherever they're at. And not only is that the right decision to make in life, but you're also creating sustainability for businesses. You're employing people.
There's the community's affected when something happens.
Right. But right with that, your community is being affected in a positive, you know? All right, we will be right back from break.
I was going to do it.
You were going to do it? Go ahead.
No, it's too late. No, we already went to break. No,
I ruined it?
Yeah, you screwed it up.
No more breaks.
In the studio, breaking news. This guy literally just broke down the door. He's got incredible news. His name is John Adams with The Fix Therapy. John, what's so important? What's going on?
Well, we've got some exciting stuff to talk about.
Well, tell me, what do you have to share?
Well, I've got a brand new podcast coming to you called The Live Life Aware, where we're going to be discussing all kinds of fun topics like biohacking.
Whoa.
Yes. We're going to be talking about integrated medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about some really new hot topics in Florida with medical marijuana and CBD.
I see. Well, that sounds exciting. So what else can the listener expect?
Well, fun facts of the body. Did you know that one red blood cell carries 1 billion oxygen molecules?
That's a lot. I had no idea.
Yeah, so if you looked up into the night sky,
right,
you could take every little star and put them on one red blood cell.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So all kinds of trivia, surprise guests, and things that you're not going to hear about just hanging out in your family practitioner's doctor's office.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking about all the stuff you're not listening or hearing from maybe your general practitioner.
Amazing. All right. Thanks so much, John. Live Life Aware, guys, coming soon from the Space Coast Podcast Studios.
Jesse, have you ever wondered what is the best way to interview applicants for your open position so you have the best chance of hiring a keeper?
All the time.
Well, I talk to managers every day, Jesse, that use their gut instinct to make a hire. Sometimes that works out, but more times than not, it can lead to a bad hire. Replacing a poor hire can be expensive and hurt morale. One of our most popular service offerings at HR Office Savers is teaching employers how to be better interviewers. Improved interviewing techniques lead to better hiring, which leads to better employee retention, which leads to less turnover and more profit. Contact me today to find out how you can learn to be a better interviewer. I can be reached online at www.hroffice-savers.com or by phone 928-308-4506. Again, that's 928-308-4506. 928-308-4506.
You're listening to the Space Coast Podcast Network. If you'd like to be featured as a guest or sponsor or even host your own show, please email us at spacecoastpodcast@hotmail.com. That is spacecoastpodcast@hotmail.com.
Space Coast Podcast. Talk hard.
All right, did you see how I did that? Did you see? You weren't even paying attention.
No.
I waited for the finger to drop. Right? Wait. Go. Boom. I'm in. See? And you're not even paying attention. I'm trying to teach
you. You did something
I'm trying
right.
to teach you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to teach you. Yeah. Yeah. I want some ice cream after
if
this.
If you two were in a ceramic bathtub.
It would be ugly.
With the bomb squad, they were trying to cover you. You'd both be blown up.
Yeah.
Because one's going before the finger.
All right, I want to talk, Bill, real fast just about some of the events you got coming up, some of the events you've done, where people can get a hold of you, how they can help out or reach out to have you come talk to them.
We can be contacted on Facebook. Facebook, the Kerri Anne DeMott Foundation, very simple.
KERIANNE.
Yeah, KERIANNE, DeMott Foundation.com is our website, the Kerri Anne DeMott Foundation.com. Twitter is KADF or KAD Foundation 1. And Instagram is the Carrie Ann DeMott Foundation. That's all my daughter's stuff. She doesn't let me talk about social media. But people can contact us for school events, corporate events, things like that. And in the interim, we work on legislation and so we're doing something every, so there's just not events, but we try to do events to raise awareness. And we'll be in Titusville May 4th, the day before Cinco de Mayo this year. And we thought there'd be no better time for our walk.
Absolutely.
So this will be the second annual walk. Last year, there were over 200 runners for that. And this year, we're going to make it bigger. Chief Lau and Matt and everybody, Amy Matthews over there in Titusville, who does that. And so we partner with the...
You could probably add in two more walkers.
Yeah. Listen, if you walk my way, we go the whole 5K. It's a little bit of a circle 5K.
I don't mind walking it. But that's a lot of K's to
run. Actually, can I ask you one question? Yeah. You brought up legislation.
Yes.
What kind of legislation are you guys working on?
I was blessed to stand on the Senate floor 2 years ago and introduce some change in what we're asking. What we're asking for the foundation is accountability, not just from the offender, but from our lawmakers, from our judges, because, as you know, you've done it, and judges have some leeway in why the wet reckless, and why they get the plea down, and why the diversion, and so we've put together a pretty good amendment, we feel, this year after working with law enforcement and doing our homework for what you know died on the Senate floor. So I meet with senators and representatives from all over the state, not just in my district. I go to the heads of those committees that where it failed, and so I have meetings coming up. So when we're not speaking to students, when we're not traveling around the country, we're working on legislation. We're working on what can we do to help tighten things up. And it's just as simple as educating people on 0.08 doesn't justify you drinking till you're 0.08. You're impaired the minute you drink. You're impaired the minute
I think that's another
you're
problem.
Popping pills. Your cough medicine makes you impaired. So, and then we talk about impaired and distracted driving as well. So we're trying to tighten it all up.
And I was going to ask about the distracted driving, because I know Emily Schlossberg.
Yes.
Obviously, her twin sister was killed by distracted driving. And she's a rep out of South Florida.
Yes, Boca Raton.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know she had recently presented a bill that kind of died before, because there was a lot of political stuff going on at the time. And that kind of got overlooked. But it was more focused on distracted driving aspects. So that's why I was wondering if you guys had been working with her.
Yeah, I had a chance to speak at her yearly. She has a function
every
year, so I got to go down and meet the family and speak with them. And everything slowed down last year for the foundation that are working on those things. Parkland was at the time.
Right.
So.
And I think that's where her bill went away.
So everything kind of stuttered. And Parkland took over, rightfully so. So now, hopefully, this year and that's what we do as a foundation. We don't stand there and go, well, the Carrie Ann DeMott Foundation is doing this, and everybody else find your piece of the pie. I don't want a piece of the pie. This isn't about covering ground. Right. This isn't about owning. I don't want ownership of this. We don't want ownership. We want it to go away. So I will go to the Schlossbergs, and what can we do? You know, here we are. You know, God made me 6'2", 340 pounds for a reason. I'll be your fullback. Let's run. Let's run with the ball. Let's run to Tallahassee. Let's stand there. Let's introduce these people. And I always say, and it's unfortunate, because until it happens to someone closer.
We talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
And as you guys know, so why? Let's not get to that point. My biggest thing is get involved before you become affected.
Absolutely.
So this year, we're working for Kerry's Law, and it's just tightening things up. Instead of the guy who took my daughter's life was a multiple offender. 4 months previous, he just had his second one. That can't happen. And it's not law enforcement's fault. Sometimes it's the court's fault. Sometimes it's this fault. But let's tighten everybody up. So what we're asking for is accountability. And if it doesn't happen this year, but we get closer,
yeah, it's a process.
Then we go. Like everything else we've talked about, it's a process. There's no such thing as, well, we did the best we could, let's move on. Because my family's serving a life sentence.
Absolutely.
My 10-year-old boy, his life has been changed forever. My daughter's life has been changed forever. My wife and I, we've been changed forever. The people who dealt Hitch and all, his life changed. People's life changed. You guys are now victims of DUI because you never met Carrie Ann. You're victims of DUI for many more reasons. But if everybody took that as, oh my God, I am a victim. And at the dinner, people met Carrie Ann that never met her, but they left there knowing her and knowing about her and who she was about. So we took 200 people. It's like that old, what's that hair commercial? They'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends. So we have national recognition without national funds. We work off of donations of bracelets and window decals, and it gets us to the next school. It gets us to the next. It gives me enough gas to get to Tallahassee.
Now, I do have a question. Obviously, you brought up your family. When a tragedy like this hits a family, a lot of times you'll see maybe families have issues. They have healing issues. Obviously, your family has continued to bond and move forward with this. Is there anything else you do as a family that has helped that?
No. Probably this keeps us from that. This is our thing, because just be honest, we haven't healed. We haven't addressed it. We haven't sat down as a family to digest anything. Because if that happens, I think then this may stop.
Right.
And that's why I said earlier, I can't stop. I don't, it's not my time to stop.
No, absolutely not.
So we don't, this is how we stay sane. Mm-hmm. This is how
we, as best you can.
This is what keeps us all going. My wife goes to work every day. Her life has changed. My daughter goes to work every day. My boy goes to school. I do the things I do. But at the end of the day, when we're all in that house together, we look at each other for a minute and...
Yeah, no. And it's...
But I think it's like you said, though. As long as you keep moving forward with your message, then Carrie keeps moving forward.
Yeah.
And Carrie's always there.
Yeah.
In the bigger scheme of things.
I got my time.
I think it's awesome.
I have my time with Carrie. I know where she is. I know what she's doing. She's waiting.
No, absolutely.
Until then,
yeah,
we fight.
No, absolutely. No, yeah, man. I mean, like I said, we nothing but, you know, respect, and you provide us with motivation with everything you do. And I know for Chris, here's a guy who was fanboying all before this, because
I told you I was scared to go. I didn't want to get out of the truck.
But his mindset, you know, he grew up watching you. And, you know, this is one of those guys that, I mean, this dude woke up and turned on the, he still does. I mean, what am I joking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Daughter runs around with the championship belt and tries to, you know, hit me with it. I don't even know what's going on.
She's
when
got
I
two.
She has two now. And she keeps beating me, so she's going to continue to hold those titles.
One for TV, one for live events.
Right, yeah, exactly. But, you know, this is the reality of life. And not only does Chris get to see one of the guys that he followed his whole life and get to hear those stories and have the conversations we've had on the breaks and before the show, but now you're continuing an adult motivation for us.
Yeah.
You know, like I told you before, growing up, for me, I was a little kid, and I remember seeing Hacksaw Jim Duggan run out waving that American flag.
Right.
And I don't know what triggered in a little kid, but I always thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't care if you won, if you lost, what it was. I wanted him to run out there, and I wanted him to yell-ho and hang up and hold up that 2x4 and swing that American flag and give you a thumbs up. And
with that tongue.
Yeah, and I know what it was, but to me, that was like patriotism, and that was a guy who was inspiring kids to be American and loved that. And, you know, and anytime you had, like, you saw the Mountie and all those other people, I'd be like, you better crush him, you know, you better wave that flag. I didn't know anything about Canada or anything else, but I just was like, no, you wave that American flag and you do what you gotta do, you know. But, you know, it's been really cool to see what you've done, you know. And like I said, I've known Matt for a while, and I actually remember when the actual accident happened, and, you know, reading about it. I remember Matt posting on Facebook and being like, wow, that was really close, you know. That, and like you said earlier, it, a lot of times people, until it affects them or somewhere close to them, they don't react. And we see that a lot with cancer walks and stuff. So Jesse just put his finger up.
So I'm going to do this one. All right, we're going to go to break. I think we're done with the heavy stuff for a little bit. When we get back, I want to talk some pro wrestling.
Done.
Well, there's the X. I guess I'll sign right here.
Stop! Did you even read it?
No, I usually don't.
How many pages is that?
Like 20.
You could be giving away your firstborn son in that contract.
That's a pretty good point. I don't want to do that.
Or that's a lease, right? You could be giving your landlord rights to have their uncle, Fat Uncle Joe, come and use your coffee maker whenever they want.
Uncle Joe's fine, but not Fat Uncle Joe.
Yeah, not that one.
Well, this is a lot of legal information. I don't really know it. Who could I go for this?
Well, that's exactly why we have Blake Stewart at Stewart Law. He specializes in business contracts and construction law, and he has negotiated low prices for contract reviews just for cases like this. Check him out on Facebook, Stewart Law CS.
Or on the web at stewartlawcs.com.
Or give me a call at 321-541-6845.
A lot of people want to know what the Paper Clinic is. And honestly, the Paper Clinic is a lot of things. It's a collaborative space where you can come and bounce ideas off other professionals. You can get advice from professionals in the field. You can get legal advice, insurance advice, and you can be the expert. You can advise people as to things that you know about. But the Paper Clinic's a lot more than that. When the Paper Clinic works together, it becomes a one-stop shop for anybody who wants to start a business. You can walk right in one door of the Paper Clinic, and you can get your business formed. You can get your business insured. You can get a tax plan. You can get marketing. And you can walk right out the other side of the Paper Clinic with a turnkey business. The Paper Clinic, big firm resources for the small business. Check us out on the web, thepaperclinic.com, or on Facebook at The Paper Clinic.
You're listening to the Space Coast Podcast Network. If you'd like to be featured as a guest or sponsor or even host your own show, please email us at spacecoastpodcast@hotmail.com. That is spacecoastpodcast@hotmail.com.
Space Coast Podcast. Talk hard.
All right, so we're back, and now we're going to talk some pro wrestling, Bill. Is that cool?
Yeah, man, let's
all right.
do that.
All right, so when did you start?
1988.
All right.
A lot of people don't know what 88 is. That was actually 1900s was a thing.
We were around.
Yeah, 1988, around. Yeah. Brooklyn, Gleason's Gym.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just That's walked awesome. In one day and said, I want to do this? Or
Quick.
Yeah.
Cool. How it started, I left college. I was escorted, actually, out of college. My dad could not have a 300-pound couch potato.
What is it? Who escorted you? I mean, well, what was the size of these human beings?
It was numerous people. I was a little smaller then, and I was only 17, so they administrated. I got kicked out of college, but I had a good solid 3 semesters under my belt. My dad couldn't stand a couch potato, and he brought me into Brooklyn one time to a gym, Gleason's Gym. Find something for me to do other than just working and then doing nothing. I played football in high school, played college, wrestled. I was coaching and do something. Brought me into the gym. My coach, the legendary Johnny Rods, looked at me after a while, said I could come back anytime. This isn't for me. Those guys would throw me around, but I could watch anytime. I left there offended. I stole $3,500 and borrowed it and, you know, hocked things and got $3,500 cash. Came back the following week, paid my tuition in full. 2019, here we are.
When does the moonsault come in?
It comes in 20 minutes after this show is over.
But when did you first... When did you first put it in?
Today,
No.
I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, who's going to get that?
I was.
Look, it'll hurt like hell. I'll probably get every rib broken and need a ride to the emergency room, but I'll gladly take it.
You only have one person in front of you, Coach Greg Lovelady, the head coach of UCF baseball.
Yeah.
Big wrestling fan. Pokes me all the time. I'll lay right here. Just do it. Just jump off a desk.
Just one time.
Just do it. All summer long, our boys played ball together. Just do it. I'll lay in the pool. It won't hurt that much. Just do it. I am not doing it. So, it happened in Puerto Rico. We had a day off back in the early 90s, and we're belly flopping in the pool. So everybody's trying to figure out how to make a better belly flop. So I did mine backwards. There's a big difference between the edge of a pool into the water and then 12 feet, 15 feet upside down. So when we got back to the tour in Japan, Kevin Sullivan said, you're going to do the flip tonight from the top. I've never done it. I'm not doing it. I won't do it. He goes, you'll never work here again.
So you did it?
So I don't care. I'm going home. Pack my bags. I'm not doing it. It's the biggest show of the tour. And then we're going home. You're doing it. I'm not doing it. You're doing it. Or you're never going to work again. So I knew he was serious. Well, son of a gun. I got up there and closed my eyes and jumped. The lights. Unbelievable. My eyes were closed. I still saw the lights. I landed on this guy. The place erupted. You know, we became tag team champions or something. Maybe Mr. Pogo, depending on how the... So I did it, and then they said, well, there goes your career, because you're going to have to do that every night now for the rest of your career. And that's the truth. Goodness. So I did it out of fear of losing my job, and then I had to do it because I had to keep my job.
But injuries. How many injuries have you had over the years?
All toes, all fingers, knees four times, both ankles broken. Ligaments, both calves, shoulders torn. The final straw for me was in 2003. I broke my neck.
Oh, yeah.
So Corpus Christi, Texas. I hit the flip and landed. It wasn't that night's flip, but it's just between football and wrestling all those years. It took its toll when I landed. Nothing moved but my eyes and my head. So it was one of Sean O'Hare's only wins that year.
Right, yeah.
what was he going to do? You know, what do we do? Cover me. What do we do? Cover him. I couldn't move. So, you know, he beat me in Corpus Christi. And then I was fortunate enough to get the feeling back.
Yeah, wow.
But I, you know, so what people don't know is you lose it. You know, you hear about the Austin and all these guys. And if they always say, if you're any good at what you do, you're going to go through the next surgery. Not the way you want to hear it, right. But, you know, if you put the miles in. But, you know, over the years, so now I'm losing the right side, the nerve damage. So they went and fixed it through the front. But then you get back in the ring again because it's what you know. So
you got to get back out.
I was fortunate enough to have a career after it, and announcing and then training and then taking over the whole system and developing the new system. So it worked out from a dare.
What your favorite persona that your favorite, I don't, character is probably not the right word, but favorite persona that you use?
I could not stand the humorous, how I came in with the laugh.
You didn't like being the laughing
man?
Well,
they asked me to do an interview, and I forgot what he wanted me to say. So I was talking about Randy Savage, and I went, because I was scared to death. I was nervous. And they said, wow, can you do that again? I'm like, do what? It's like the whole thing. I'm like, oh, God. So then they said, keep the laugh. Oh
my God.
So by the time you're, you know, and I'm not a small guy, so now you're blown up after 10 minutes.
Right.
You're in these tights, you're going, now I'm getting lightheaded, and then I got a moonsault, and now I'm trying to find water and catch my breath. I'm trying to find people's puffers to get air in me. So as much fun as I had with that, that was the hardest part about that. I think when I was just allowed to be Bill DeMott, the tough enough years and all that, it took a lot of pressure off. There was no merchandise in it, but, you know, it took a lot of pressure off. I could just...
Be you?
Yeah, and Hugh Morris, I was me. It was just called Hugh Morris. But in the beginning, you know, they help you find it, and then hopefully you earn your stripes and become, you know, that's character, awesome. The thing that works.
What
you know how long it took me as a kid to realize it was humorous? Humorous. Well, it took me forever.
Bro,
and it just dawned on there's Steve's face.
They called me Hugh Morris.
Right.
So they were at first I was the man of question, then Hugh Morris, and I walked in the office. I don't get it. And Arn Anderson, what don't you get?
Who Arn Anderson?
Who calls himself Hugh Morris? And then Sullivan, you dummy. It's humorous. I'm like, they're not saying humorous. They're saying Hugh. Bobby Heenan is saying Hugh Morris. For God's sake, somebody call him the laughing man. So I became the laughing man, Hugh Morris. I'm like, oh, I understand that. And I walked out like, no, there was no.
That's hilarious.
So that just, you just got that?
Yes.
I didn't get
it. Okay, now I feel
better. 40 years old.
It took me years. Ding. It took me years to, oh.
I was signing it. Now that I'm like, this is the stupidest name ever. Fat kid named Hugh. It just doesn't fit.
Now, you wrestled legends over the years.
Yeah.
Name off some of them. So,
some of your favorite opponents.
Yeah.
Hogan was a favorite. Taker was a favorite. Savage, Sting. You know, you get to bounce with the Flairs and the Andersons, right. And back because I was fortunate enough to be part of WCW in its heyday. And then move on to WWF and then WWE. So I got to the best of all worlds. There's a couple of guys I never got to lock horns with, which you go, wow, if you could do it again. Like, I would have loved to have locked horns with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Who's a great guy. We have a relationship outside of it. But, you know, there's a couple of guys I didn't get the chance. But Taker was a big one for me. I think when you get to work with him and feed off of that. I never worked with Hunter. Which was another guy.
Right.
But, you know, I found
a Lance Storm. I noticed you didn't say Goldberg.
Oh, he's my buddy. I love him. And everybody goes, you're the guy. Oh, you're the guy who lost to Goldberg. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm that guy. So
I'm the guy. So that I'm known for two things. I'm known for the laugh, and I'm known for losing to Goldberg.
No.
But, you know, what's funny is I'm a Goldberg fan.
Me too.
I watch Night for Death all the time. Yeah. Because one of the reasons with him and Tim Lamb, I mean, that's. What a great show. I love, I'm a big knife fan. I want to get into competition chopping. I actually have a competition chopper. My buddy actually works up there. And all they say is good things about those guys.
The guy's good as gold. Like, we didn't know that night, and that's what everybody said. So it was one of those things for me, like, for them to come to me and go, hey, we need you out there. Let's see what this kid has.
But yeah, that's got to show a lot of confidence in you from the company, right? Hey, we're going to put this guy that we eventually is going to be our guy. His first match. We need you to go out there and make sure it goes
smooth.
Well,
they didn't even know he was going to be the guy. They were like, the only thing we were trying to convince him, don't do the backflip. Like, he did the standing backflip.
Oh.
But because he's a big guy and athletic, you want to show people that. It's hard when you tell an athlete not to do something.
Right.
But he did it, and they weren't even going to call him Goldberg, but Tony Schiavone, or was it Gene or Tony or something, goes, Goldberg, what do you got to say? So, well, crap, now we got to call him Goldberg.
No, I guess we're stuck.
Because I think they were looking for a tag for him.
Yeah.
But Bill's a great guy. So when people come up and go, hey, you were the first guy for Goldberg. Go, hell yeah.
Yeah, you don't remember the first guy, 90th? You don't remember the 100th?
The 16th guy, the 19th guy, the 20th, you know, in his streak, him and right. I got to tie it up a lot. And then I get to see Bill now through the years, and we go to appearances and stuff, and everybody goes, you know, wrestling fans are like, can you be in the same room? And you see Bill slowly walk over, and I get up and I look at Bill, and then there's these two buffoons hugging in the middle of the floor. I love Goldberg. Everything he got, he earned and deserved. And I got to be if you're part of wrestling history.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I was part of wrestling history with Goldberg. Then it was the invasion.
Right.
You know, and so it's all good.
I'll explain to you later what the invasion is. Well,
you said it was funny, you know, just. The whole Goldberg thing, that was probably right around the time that I was not being a Chris in wrestling anymore.
Well, that's right when it was starting to take off to the mainstream again.
Yeah.
Right? Because you had a while where it was just not super mainstream, and then Goldberg comes around, the NWO pops off, the Attitude Era pops off, and now I was in middle school, high school when that happened, and all of a sudden you show up to school and everybody's wearing Austin 316 shirts, NWO shirts, Rock shirts. They're everywhere, you know.
That's when that era came out, and we were kind of the gloves were off, and everybody could kind of be who they were, you know. And it wasn't so PC back then, and it was fun. But you know, 300 days a year, you're on the road, and
that's good. Yeah. That's got to get taxed.
Hey, woo, buddy! I'll tell you what, it hurts more now not traveling because.
Now, I do have a question on the whole traveling thing. Obviously, you've worked with a lot of people over the years. There's been quite a few wrestlers now that have passed.
Yeah.
Some of it had to do with PTSD, depression, stuff from injuries. Yeah. Obviously, you've had quite a few injuries. Overcoming those and keeping going, and how does that all feel?
I think it's rotten. I think shame on me. I missed, you know, you must miss something. Like, I completely went off the grid because I'd had enough of chicken and water, and you know, you're drinking 5 gallons of water a day, and you're eating your chicken, and you're in the gym every day. So when I had a chance to
get away, gone off the grid
when
recently.
When I got a chance to get away from it, I got away from it. But when what you don't realize, and then still go to the gym, and you know, I'm still pretty strong for 53. I still move okay, but I have my moments of. All those
everything
injuries
catches
are
up.
Settling in, and then you're reminded you're 53 because of what you did for 28 years, and you know, so it's right. A different 53. So you try, and your flexibility. I always say the less I travel, the more I hurt. So when I get an opportunity to go on the road for a couple days, even speaking, I find a gym. Right. I'm eating the thing, and it's just natural to
you
do
fall
that.
Almost right
and
back
go
into
right
it.
Back that regiment, into it. So yeah. It's It's interesting. I think my wife would like me back on the road a little more.
Like, I think our wives would like us to go with you. So
well,
they
yeah. Well, you know what it is, because you're gone all that time, and then life that's how everybody adjusts to it.
Right.
And then,
all of a sudden,
hey,
you're home.
Dad's home again today.
Yeah. Well, me and my wife, we always joke because we're obviously
Dad's
both
still
law enforcement.
Here.
Yeah, that's it.
And I've pretty much been on midnights most of the time. And when my wife was on midnight, she was on the opposite schedule. So we've always kind of had an opposite thing. At one point, we were on the same schedule, and we were like, wait, do you not go to work today?
What are you going to do? What do you want to do? I asked what you were going to do.
Yeah.
I love you. I just don't love you so much.
Right.
My wife would always be like, I have to binge watch something on Netflix. It's my binge watching time.
You're normally not here.
You're normally not right. here. So you go find something to do while I finish watching The Vampire Diaries.
You know? Yeah, I'm the guy as she was doing something. I'd be like standing right next to her like watching. Like, and she'd be like, really?
I don't know what else to do
man,
right
I'm
now.
Like, what's it, Ricky Bobby with right. the hands? Yeah. I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
Worst finisher to take.
Ooh. I don't know. I only fear one move in wrestling.
Pile driver?
No, the backdrop.
Oh yeah.
I only fear the backdrop. Because it can go wrong so many times. So I don't do it, I don't take it, I try not to give it. But I don't the worst finish. A lot of people said Savage's elbow was the worst finish, but I had more padding than most, so it never really bothered me. I'm trying to think the worst finish. Man, I can't think of it.
Because I got
to
think the jackhammer didn't feel too good coming out.
I mean, there's
there.
A lot of them that are like, hey, okay, again? Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But there wasn't one like you went, absolutely not.
No.
Like, I was a big fan. I didn't mind. I was a big fan of you had to touch me with everything. So, super kick. You had to kick me. Like, my hands aren't going up. None of that. You got to bring everything you're doing. The discus punch was a little much. Everybody left with a black eye and a discus punch.
Right.
Your nose was moved over a little bit. But I didn't fear any of them. I'm sure there's a few. I know I can probably name a couple hundred guys who didn't like mine.
Yeah.
But I didn't fear too many of them.
Yeah, no. Watching. When you raise those fingers, it's got to be like, oh.
Oh, man. And then you realize when you point up and you climb, you got to go.
Yeah.
And every time
oh,
I went,
crap.
I'm like, why did I do that?
I couldn't imagine laying there on the mat being like, he's about to jump off the top and land on me. This should be fun.
Well, we went one time in Japan. I was with Muda, who's okay. the inspiration for the moonsault. But Muda's a normal-sized person. So I got to work with the great Muda for 3 weeks in Japan. We went back and forth. So Muda would... I'd be further out, and he'd come and hit me with the moonsault. But then the next night, I'd have to one-up him, so I made sure he was further out. So now we're trying to see who can go further and still land safe. And we're going further and further. And the one night, I was about halfway in the ring, in the middle of the ring. And the referee was yelling, no, 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 no. And Muda's, shut up. only English he speaks, right? Shut up. And I'm going, oh, God. And he goes up, and he crushes me with his knees and his shins, just right across my... Just but the next day's my turn.
Right.
So I went beyond half. And the red, no, 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 no. And... And from the bottom, say nothing. You hear Muda laying on the ground going, no, 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 no. But I hit it. Boom. So after he comes up, he goes, are we done? I'm like, please let's be done.
Yeah.
But to me, that, like, as a wrestling fan, to go back and forth with Muda
yeah.
was huge.
That's awesome.
Me. Yeah. Vader working with those guys in Big Low.
Oh man. I always loved Big Low.
Oh my gosh.
I got to see him when ECW was first starting off, and they played in a cattle ring over at the Osceola County Fairgrounds. I mean, they literally had done a cattle auction earlier in the day and then brought in ECW, and we're sitting up, and it was one of the greatest shows I've ever been to.
What a...
All right, Jesse, we wrapping up?
Hey, look, Jesse did that. Hey,
it was kind of.
He threw a one.
But it was this. It was this one. Right. It was kind of like,
you know.
All right. Well, let's let Bill one more time. Just let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
You can follow me on Twitter at Bill DeMont. Get a hold of me at thebilldemontexperience.com, or you can get a hold of us at the foundation at thecarrieanndemontfoundation.com.
Awesome,
guys. I appreciate everything and all your time.
I really appreciate you. And I'm going to post all that up on our Facebook later, so you guys will be able to find it. Links, all that good stuff. Jesse, thank you once again.
Thank you, Bill DeMont. Jesse. Bill, thanks, brother.
Thank you for allowing you Chris to be a fanboy today.
Thank you so much.
All right, y'all be safe out there.
All right, take your hand off me.
No.
Why is it still there?
Because it feels good.